and welcome to the Muslim Sheroes of Minnesota podcast, where we spotlight the Muslim women of the Minnesota community. My name is Noshina Hussain, and I'm the executive director of RISE, Reviving the Islamic Sisterhood for Empowerment. Our mission is to amplify the voice and power of Muslim women through storytelling, leadership development, and civic engagement. What is a Shiro? A Shiro is a female trailblazer who is creating change in her community. She takes risks, she challenges misconceptions, and addresses injustices. Shiros are on a mission to build a better world, and the sisterhood is here to support them and lift their voices. Meet our next Shiro, Ayan Omer. Ayan is an interfaith advocate, an educator, and a mom. She's combating the hateful Islamophobia pervasive in the rural communities in central Minnesota. Listen to her tell her story in her own words.
The moment that shaped my life is definitely, I recall being at this particular refugee camp with my siblings and my parents. My mother was with my dad and he needed medical attention. So we raised each other. My older siblings raised us. But I remember at one point getting lost. Mm-hmm. And often we were warned against that, don't get lost, don't go off, don't go wandering by yourself. But I remember getting lost, and it was a hot, dry day. I remember this traumatic event, trying to find my way home. And I remember giving up that I was going to be a statistic, that I wasn't going to be found. And I remember finding a tree, just giving up and saying, okay, this is exactly what I was told not to do. And I was accepting my fate. And then I hear my older brother saying, what are you doing? We have to get home. And I'll never forget that moment, because it's the idea of hope, right? Never giving up hope, that was instilled in my narrative at a very early age. Since then, this idea of hope has been constant and consistent and the driving force behind everything that I do. My mother definitely is an underrated Shiro. She's, her lack of education, quote unquote, it definitely makes her invisible. But she raised 12 kids with the mentality, the mindset of compassion, empathy, walking in someone else's shoes is phenomenal. Everything that I have, the degrees, the career, this house, I credit to the sacrifices that my mother has made. I actually grew up in Clarkston, Georgia. I moved up here right after I graduated high school in summer 2005 with the purpose of attending St. Cloud State and becoming an educator. I had a business law teacher who had ties to St. Cloud State, and my father also lived in St. Cloud, and I moved up here as soon as I can to move away from home, you know, just like any teenager. I recall when I first moved up here and I started St. Cloud State, I was one of few, if not the only, person of color in majority of my classes. And I remember being asked, where are you from? Very frequently, which is interesting because you don't think of that on college campuses where people come from all sorts of places. But I quickly learned that the question of where are you from was not a matter of where'd you grow up. It was a matter of where were you born? What religion do you practice? How are you beneficial or a threat to me? And it took me a while to come around to that or understand it, just because growing up in Georgia, that's, people didn't ask you, where are you from? So I had to study and learn a lot about myself and my religion. And because, again, America is all I've ever known from kindergarten on up. And I took so much for granted down in Georgia. It's like, I am who I am. But when you're asked and people are wondering who you are, you have to start learning a little bit about who you are. Learning a little bit about myself definitely initiated the project, the work that I do now as reaching out to the community and making sure that people understand who I represent and that I don't necessarily represent an entire religion or an entire culture or an entire group of people. But I quickly realized that people are looking for a narrative to grasp, to understand, or to stereotype. So I felt like I had a record that I would not mind sharing with people if that's what they're looking for. And I started participating in the Interfaith Dialogue Group. I started joining campus clubs. I started putting myself out there, which was hard. Vulnerability is hard for anyone. And I quickly found that the reward, the response, you know, you get hugs at the end. People are grateful that you're willing to be vulnerable. And then I just continued, and I wasn't doing anything different. I was just saying who I am. So nothing special, I thought. One of the greatest experiences I've had in doing this line of work, I remember one of my first panel discussions I've ever participated in. And there was an older lady who stood up to ask a question. Visually, she was a fragile, you know, your grandmother. And I remember this lady, she stood up and she honestly and sincerely asked if we wanted to kill her. She said, "Do you want to kill us? What is your purpose for us?" And what stood out to me is that us, you know, and the idea that this lady is sincerely afraid of a person like me just really touched me. It moved me. I remember getting emotional because I understood the genuineness behind her question, and I still get emotional about that question. And I remember just answering her question with a simple no. And then at the end, I went up to her and she just gave me a hug. And since that was another motivator to keep going. So the work I do with Unite Cloud has been fundamental, crucial to the dialogue and the efforts that we have going on here at St. Cloud, particularly engaging people in their discomforts. And what I particularly appreciate about Unite Cloud, it goes beyond just the religion, the refugee or immigration policies, but it looks at race. The idea that brown and black people historically in this country have been a second-class citizen. But then you throw gender, class, you throw status into the mix, and then you have a group of people who don't even have a chance in being understood. Not even fulfilling or pursuing happiness, but just don't have the chance to be allowed a seat at the table. So Unite Cloud definitely addresses those issues, and I get to play a role as one of the speakers where I am able to travel to Little Falls or travel to Ricori or Cold Spring and lend my voice and first address race, then work my way down to Islam. My career as a teacher in the St. Cloud School District has definitely allowed me to do some groundwork, but also to be a visual representation for young boys and girls, what it looks like to be successful, I guess, what hard work and dedication and keeping your word looks like. It allowed me to definitely engage the youth, both as a visual representation, but also in the classroom. I remember teaching the story about Emmett Till, and I was teaching it to a group of 10th graders, so right around the same age as Emmett Till when he was murdered, 14, 15. And I remember engaging my students in race conversation and how we don't have an immigration problem or refugee problem. We have a race problem in our country. And I remember a young man, a young Caucasian male, saying, well, this doesn't happen anymore. What's the point? And I said, well, that's a good question. And I was just able to engage him and say, can you tell me more about that? Why you feel that way? I'm very cautious about arguing or debating someone else's feelings. And I was able to have a conversation with this young man who comes from a very small town. We were able to talk and have a conversation about race, the history of America, where he currently resides, his parents, and the history of his lineage and what he knew about it. This is a 10th grade boy, and I'm thinking, boy, you don't know anything. It's so easy for me to say that and count him out. But we were able to come down to the conclusion that the history that we live in is definitely pinning or is definitely allowing some people to count it out as if it's not happening anymore. But I was surprised, I was impressed how much this young man knew about who he was, and it changed my mindset about counting 10th graders out when it comes to conversations, political conversations.
Thank you to Blue Cross Blue Shield Minnesota for funding the Shiro's Project. To learn more about Shiro's and Reviving Sisterhood, visit us at www.revivingsisterhood.org. Find us on social media at Reviving Sisterhood on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you.